glad to have you here on Fried Catfish. I'm going to go over what's going on in Egypt and exactly where we got to where we're at right now. Who in the world these people are, namely Mubarak, president of Egypt. He just named a successor, like that's going to do anything. But really, for everybody who really doesn't know what's going on with Egypt, it all started in Tunisia, which is a northern African country. Because of the economic situation in Tunisia, and a graduate, he's a college graduate, but anyway, he couldn't find employment. He continued to look for employment, but all he could do was sell fruit and vegetables illegally on the side of the road. And because he couldn't find a job for so long, he actually ended up performing self-immolation, which really is just setting yourself on fire. It's a worldwide sign for how bad the situation is. The student lit himself on fire. The president went, and the president of Tunisia went to see him in the hospital, and whatever it meant, promised him that he was going to try to somehow fix the economic discontent. But apparently, the 5,000 that rose up didn't necessarily believe him. Anyway, I mean, that really set it off. Tunisia has been ruled with the same ruler for 23 years. And of course, he condemned the riots. But the people in Egypt have actually been facing close to the same thing. Egypt's in a fairly serious situation as far as economic-wise and as far as human rights violations go. Egypt is a fairly known country for human rights violations. Just to kind of connect the dots with what's going on or what has went on that a lot of people are familiar with. Osama bin Laden is in some way connected early on. He formed his own terrorist organization, and then later on, whenever he began to he began to meet others that shared the same sympathy with Islamic fundamentalism, they joined and created this group called Al-Qaeda. Just to give you a background of how everything's interconnected. In Egypt, Egypt is the way that they're connected with at least terrorism. It was actually the country where Islamic fundamentalism came from. A person by the name of Qutb, he was actually sent to the United States to study, develop a serious hate for what the West stood for, technology, just modernism in general. He developed a certain hate for that, and he brought it back and wrote a lot about how modernity often compromises what Islam teaches. One of the people that actually drew off of him was al-Zawahiri, better known as the brains of Al-Qaeda. Zawahiri, he actually was one of the head organizers of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad, which was part of who Al-Qaeda was. I think this is the early 80s. But regardless, whenever he was the head of Islamic Jihad, he was actually in charge of organizing and recruiting members. This was actually during the time that the president of Egypt was assassinated by the same group that he was a part of. So he was actually a part of the organizing, at least of the people, not necessarily the plan, but of the people that assassinated the president. Mubarak was the vice president. And actually, Mubarak replaced Sadat, I believe, in 81. And Mubarak, from 81 up until now, has actually held the president's role, but not necessarily just that, but he hasn't even identified a successor until maybe even a few hours ago or a day ago. And all of this, really, I mean, that's going on in Egypt just makes you kind of wonder, you know, why is Egypt so unstable? Because that's one of the key traits of a strong society is stability, and really because Egypt is often considered the core of the Arab world. Kind of wonder that, you know, now since there's some sort of uprising, whether or not it's going to bleed over possibly into other countries. I mean, there's already protests in Yemen. It's quite possible just because of the significance that Egypt holds within the Arab world. But really what's going on, aside from the economic disparity and human rights violations, Mubarak himself is not liked by the Egyptians because he's seen as being a supporter of the United States, meaning that, that within the past 20 years, he's worked with the United States in the first Gulf War. He actually opened the Suez Canal for them to pass through, led to the United States have a more strategic path for the war. Not only in the Gulf War did he help, but later on he also helped the United States fight Islamic terrorists, mainly Al-Qaeda, and just with the idea that Egypt is quite a bit focused on religion being a part of life and of government and of governing. The fact that the Egyptian president has supported not only the United States, but, well, in a sense, they see Egypt's support for the United States is essentially their support for Israel. That's really what it boils down to, and it's not necessarily good for Mubarak, especially now. He's facing Cairo in peril after days of protest and civil unrest. People ignoring curfews, police and military in the streets. Well, aside from blocking all communications, he actually somehow came out and thought that announcing some sort of vice president is going to do something. But I think that people are finished with Mubarak, and namely because it's been 30 years and he hasn't done anything for the people, I mean, in their eyes, and can't blame them.